My name is Jim Rome. Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? Live in Southern California. Great to have you here. As you probably know, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What's going on? Nice to have you here. All right, so the show sets up like this. Lots to get done. I like the way we're setting it up because we've got the three interviews that we normally do. But today, we have one in hour number one. We have one in hour number two. We have one in hour number three. It sets up very equitably. It's nice. It's a good opportunity for you. It's also a podcast day. Podcast episode 121. That feels good. I'm proud of that. A lot of people roll out and like they want to plant their flag somewhere. I mean, who doesn't have a podcast at this point, right? But a lot of people try it. They do it for a few weeks, maybe a few months. Then it goes away. It's not worth it. Episode 121 drops after the program today, and it's a very good one. Karan Butler gets extremely raw, extremely real, and that's why we have that side hustle, to do interviews like that. Karan Butler, you're going to like that a lot. And we will have that for you after the program. Look for it then. Meantime, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. I'd love to hear from you on this hump day. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Coming up next segment, we talk to the driver of the number 22 car, Joey Logano. Coming up next hour, it is March, right? Head basketball coach at Belmont, Casey Alexander. Hour number three, head basketball coach at Penn State, Pat Chambers. And in the meantime, if you don't mind, I'd like to give you one more telephone number. Put it in your phone. Hit me directly. On occasion, I pick it up. If not, leave a voicemail. 949-385-0447. 949-385-0447. You know, I did not want to start here. I was doing my very best not to start here. The problem is I really have no choice. I'm talking about another day, another coronavirus update. And today, because I had no choice, there is a lot to cover. Coachella has been postponed until October. Let me start right there. Coachella has been postponed. Chicago's St. Patrick's Day parade has been canceled. Across the pond in England, the Arsenal and Manchester City match has been postponed. Arsenal's players have been put in quarantine because they came into contact with somebody who tested positive. And according to Bloomberg, an executive member of the Japanese Olympic Organizing Committee is planning, quote, to propose talks this month that the committee consider the possibility of postponing the 2020 Tokyo Olympics due to the coronavirus outbreak, end quote. So the Olympics are currently scheduled to get underway in late July. Now the fact that the topic comes up this month does not mean they're going to be canceled, but this is significant. It's a change from previous statements that there would be no change in plans. On top of that, Masters tickets are typically among the most in-demand tickets in all sports. You either have to know somebody or you've got to get really lucky or you pay crazy, crazy prices on the secondary market. But as Dan Wetzel reported for Yahoo, prices for tickets on the secondary market are plummeting. SeatGeek's prices are down 51% in the last week alone. Let's go to Ohio, where Governor Mike DeWine declared a state of emergency and tweeted out a series of recommendations, which included the following, quote, athletics for indoor events. We are asking for no events with spectators other than the athletes, parents, and others essential to the game. Right now, outdoor events can't continue, end quote. That's significant in and of itself, but especially when you consider that Dayton, Ohio is the home of the NCAA First Four next week. Cleveland is the site of the first and second round games. And then in light of that recommendation, the Mid-American Conference announced that they would have a, quote, restricted attendance policy, end quote, for its postseason tournaments that will be taking place in Cleveland. And that's going to limit attendance to family members of athletes, broadcast crews, official team party members, credentialed institutional personnel, and credentialed media. So that brings us to the Cavaliers. Where does that leave them? They're starting a six-game road trip. They do not have a home game scheduled until March 24th, so they haven't made their decision yet. the Columbus Blue Jackets are going to go ahead with their next two home games. But Washington Governor Jay Inslee is expected to announce a restriction today as well. Then you have the Seattle Times reporting the expectation that there's going to be a restriction on events of more than 250 people in King, Snohomish, and Pierce counties. Times goes on to report that restriction would apply to large public gatherings, including baseball games, concerts, and cultural events. I mean, I know it's starting to beat you down, but there's more. There's an XFL game in Seattle on Sunday. The Seattle Sounders of the MLS play on March 21st. The Mariners home opener is 2 weeks from tomorrow. And the Times is reporting that MLB sources have said there are contingency plans to have the Mariners stay in Arizona and play their opening homestand there. Closer to home here, you move down the coast from Washington, UCLA, USC, Loyola Marymount, UC Irvine, UC Riverside are moving to primarily online classes. USC and UCLA have banned fans from home sporting events. The Big West Conference announced they'll play their conference tournaments in Anaheim without fans. And based on photos from the Anaheim Ducks game last night, fans were already not showing up. Attendance at the Warriors-Clippers game in San Francisco was also sparse. And then, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, the NBA's Board of Governors will be discussing the matter on a conference call today with Commissioner Adam Silver. Among the options on the table, moving some games to NBA cities that have yet to suffer outbreaks. Quote, if the virus clusters and forces a team out of its city and arena for a period of time, there has been discussion about moving games to the away opponent's arena if that city has not suffered an outbreak, or even moving games to neutral cities and sites. The report goes on, quote, the NBA is discussing a number of possibilities, including eliminating fans from buildings for games or, more drastically, suspending game operations for a period of time. But sources said decisions of those options remain complicated by the fact that there has been a limited amount of public testing for the coronavirus in the United States. There is no full understanding of how widespread and debilitating the virus could become in the country. End quote. In other words, all options are on the table, including the truly surreal options of playing in front of empty arenas or suspending operations completely. LeBron met with the media before last night's game against the Nets. He talked about the possibility of playing games without fans in attendance.
Well, it's funny because when I was asked the question, would you play without no fans, I had no idea that there was actually a conversation going on behind closed doors about the particular virus. Obviously, I would be very disappointed, you know, not having the fans, because that's what I play for. I play for my family. I play for my fans. They said no one could actually come to the game if they decide to go to that point. So I'd be disappointed in that. You know, but at the same time, you gotta listen to you know, the people that's keeping a track on what's going on, and if they feel like it's best for the safety of the players, the safety of the franchise, safety of the league, to mandate that, then we all listen to it.
Right. Again, as I mentioned yesterday, this is not some internet hoax. This is no joke. This is real. The virus is real. People are dying, and although I hate it to have to start again, as I have the last several days with that, it's changing every single day. And it's updating every single day. And as much as I didn't want to do that, I really had no choice. It's a story that's going to continue to update. And I'm sure it will continue to update even throughout the program. And I will continue to update you as well. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. Call me right now. If you want to discuss that, you can hit me up on Twitter as well if that's easier for you. Or if you prefer, at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In addition to that, there are other things going on. And just as I have to update that every single day, I could update Tom Brady every single day. I choose not to, but today there's an update. And the update is kind of similar to previous updates. Update being that, you know, you have all this sense that there's so much interest in Tom Brady. There's a line right around the block. People are falling all over themselves for an opportunity to sign the 43-year-old man. Maybe not. Maybe it's not what it appears. Maybe it really is just a desperate pub grab by some old guy trying to generate interest and leverage. Or maybe there's more interest than that. Or you know what? Maybe there's not. Maybe TB43 is trying to get the Patriots to pay attention. I have that story and that update coming up later on. You've got the four majors in golf, right? Take them away, and what's next? The Players' Championship, of course. Next biggest tournament of the year, next biggest tournament in any year. I've got thoughts on it, and I will get to it. We'll have some fun with that. Also, what is the coolest gig in all sports? You tell me. If I were to say to you, what is the best job in all sports? Quarterback in the NFL? Shortstop in Major League Baseball? Point guard in the NBA? Maybe you're a combat sport participant? Or maybe it's the so-called e-bug. I love the e-bug. The emergency backup goalie in hockey. I can justify a statement like that. I meant to get to the story yesterday about the Rams logo. Didn't get to it. Take is the same. Still sucks. Pick up the phone. I know it's a really unusual time. I know it's a really confusing time. I know it's a very unsettling and disconcerting time. And we just keep grinding it out. We can talk about that, or if you want to go in a different direction, go ahead. I do want to remind you, though, Caron Butler is really, really good. I know because I've already done the interview. You want to make sure you look for that on iTunes and all the podcast platforms after the program. We talk March Madness, Belmont head coach Casey Alexander next hour, Penn State head coach Pat Chambers in the third hour. When we come back, we talk some NASCAR. Joey Logano, the driver of the 22 car, is my first guest. Capital One knows that life does not alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card. Things like overtipping, duplicate charges, potential fraud. It then sends an alert to your phone and it helps you fix it. Also, you can use Eno to get virtual card numbers to better protect yourself when you shop online. Also an issue. It's just another way that Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. CapitalOne.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome to the jungle. Nice to have you here. Sincerely, nice to have you here. What do you want to cover? What do you want to talk about? Get up in here. Two-way process. 1-800-636-8686. Right now, we are joined by the driver of the number 22, Shell Pennzoil Ford Mustang, 14 Penske, the 2018 NASCAR Series champ, the 2015 Daytona 500 winner. He has 25 career wins. He has reached the NASCAR playoffs 6 of the last 7 seasons. He has won 2 of the last 3 races. The NASCAR Cup Series returns east this Sunday at Atlanta Motor Speedway with the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500. It is 2 p.m. Eastern on Fox. My guest is Joey Logano. Joey, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Doing great, Joey. Doing great. So bring me up to date. You're coming off a win at Phoenix. In fact, I'll start there because that was pretty remarkable. On lap 133, the crew was flagged for an uncontrollable tire that sent you to the back of the field. You had a restart on lap 138. Then you make your way back through the field, but then you had a broken jack on a yellow flag pit stop. What was your reaction when that happened?
Oh, man, just kind of dejected at the moment, right? Anytime you have a penalty or a mistake or something breaks, towards the end of the race while you're up front leading, obviously those kind of set you back. But I knew I had a quick car. I didn't know I can get through the field as quickly as we did, but some good restarts and the car fired off on the short run. Really good, which allowed us to move our way forward and got a couple cautions after that that put us in position to eventually take the lead and hold off Kevin Harvick for the win. So things, I like to say, worked out good for us, even though a lot of things didn't work out right for us. So fast cars help make up for a lot of things.
Joey Logano joining us, the driver of the number 22. You know, Joey, you know how that goes. I mean, some days you have racing luck and some days you don't. It seems to me in a situation like that, it would have been pretty easy for you and the crew to get frustrated or distracted and say, you know, it's just not our day. We'll live to fight another day. But you guys didn't give in. How were you able to stay locked in and focused on the race and not give up on it?
I think a lot of it is experience, right? I've been doing this long enough and seen this happen plenty of times, whether it's to us as a team or to other teams, and you see someone that you think's out of it, and next thing you know, they're standing in victory lane. You're saying, how in the world did that even happen? So you're just never out. That's what NASCAR racing is. You just never know what's going to happen, you know. And other sports, you know, a team might get a huge lead, and making up that distance could be tough. But for us, you know, a caution could come out late. It could be a crash or something like that that puts you right in position to take advantage of something and grab a win. So, you know, like I said, a fast car put us in position, but then also, like, having those cautions was a big deal. But just keeping calm, keeping your head cool is a big thing throughout our races. They're long. You know, you're out there for 3.5 hours or so, and if you, you know, cave to that pressure too soon, you'll be out of it before you know it.
We're talking to Joey Logano. So mental will you stay in that fight. Also, specifically, you were really good on the restarts in particular. What was it about those restarts that worked so well for you on Sunday?
Well, I mean, like I said, I had the car that can do it, but was able to just be aggressive. And that's kind of the name of the game is if you're not the one being the aggressor, making the moves are being made on you. And that's a vulnerable position to be in. when you're getting passed, that's usually when you're getting bumped around and split up the racetrack and things aren't good. So as long as you're the one that's making the moves, it's usually safer and you end up moving forward. So it's just kind of been my mentality. It's aggressive and might not make a lot of friends because of it, but, you know, we're out there to win.
In other words, dictate the situation. Don't wait for it to be dictated to you. Now, you get to the two-lap overtime with Kevin Harvick. What was going through your head at that point, and how did you approach the overtime?
Yeah, at that point, you know, our car, like I said, was good on the short run. The long run was a little bit of our weakness, and we were restarting on older tires at that point, you know, maybe 20 laps on them or so. And Kevin was really good at that point. And I thought, hey, I just got to, you know, go through the gears, get through turn one, and control the race again. Once I can get back out front, you know, and not be side-by-side with them, at that point it's just me and him and we can figure it out. But if there's going to be, you know, three or four cars that are around you, you know, getting bumped or moving you and things like that, then next thing you know, you're running fifth or sixth. So the goal on the restart was to start on the bottom, get through the gear as quickly as possible, don't spin your tires, get to turn one, and slide all the way up to this traction compound that was on the racetrack. So I did that to try to protect the bottom and then also get to the top to protect the top lane, which Kevin Harvick was in. And at that point, the plan worked out. It was just me and him. And it was a tight battle for the last couple of laps. Very intense, but it was nothing like crossing that finish line first.
No doubt. I was going to say it was a really intense final hour, and you end up winning by 0.276 seconds. When you go through something like that and you finish and it's that close, then you execute this beautiful burnout. Were you pleased with the burnout after the race, and what is the key to a great burnout?
Oh, man, the burnout's just my thing. That's my thing.
It is.
Everyone wants to do it. There's only one driver that gets to do a burnout at the end of the day. So I was pleased with it. I thought it was good, and got to end right on the start-finish line after some really cool loops. And, yeah, man, anytime you can do a burnout, especially if you're not paying for the tires, boy, burnouts are fun.
Better yet, Joey Logano, my guest, for a few more moments. I can't let you go without asking about the team. It's your first season with Paul Wolf as your crew chief. The thinking has been that in the past, a driver and a crew chief sometimes need some time to get on the same page, yet you're already getting great results. How do you explain the fact that you've all gotten on that same page so quickly?
You know, I think a lot of it is we are on the same page, but there's also a lot of runway ahead of us and a lot of room for improvement as well. So that's very encouraging for me moving forward and I think for our whole team. But, you know, Paul Wolf and I, we've worked together from a distance as he was Brad Keselowski's crew chief for the last 10 years. You know, I've been able to get to know him, but like I said, at a distance. So he knew me. He knew the things I need in a race car. He knows how I race on the racetrack. So there's a lot of things that were kind of easy to transfer over. So I think that's why you see that learning curve maybe not being as steep as some would think. But still, anytime you work it that close together, you know, what he calls the race or, like I talked about, what I need in a race car or the way I communicate it to him and the engineers and the, you know, you think that's the whole team, right? It's not just the crew chief. It's, you know, all the way through the mechanics that have picked through all the way through. So a lot of, you know, new ways of doing things. But it's been a fun, you know, enlightening experience. And it's nice to grab a couple wins right off the bat and start building those playoff points up.
Right, especially if you know that you can still get better and run even faster. Listen, you did a Q&A with The Athletic recently that I thought was really interesting. At the end, they asked you, what question do you want to ask the next driver who takes the Q&A? And your answer was, quote, why? Why do you race? So let me turn that back on you. Why do you race? What's your why?
That's a, you know, it's always interesting because everyone has a different why. And to me, you know, I don't think your job, whether it's driving a race car or being a banker or whatever it may be, shouldn't be your reason to live. You know, so for me, just, you know, for me, my why is that I've been able to have this awesome platform that we call NASCAR, and I try to make the most of that by encouraging others to live a life of generosity and, you know, not only with your finances, but with the way, you know, you live and the smallest things or just smiling at someone makes the biggest difference sometimes. And so we started the Joey Logano Foundation to help give second chances to kids and young adults in times of crisis, and that's my why. That's at the end of the day, when you're sitting on your deathbed, that's how you're going to have people around you and not just empty trophies.
I get that. Joey Logano, my guest. Finally, you've got Atlanta on Sunday. As I mentioned, you've won two of the last three races. How do you and the team go about approaching that particular track and that race?
How we've been working at it all morning, to be honest, but you're trying to figure that out. You know, Atlanta is just, it's a fun racetrack. The surface is very wore out. The tires wear out very quickly. You know, so we talked a little bit about short runs versus long runs. You know, you got to take some compromises with your car setup and also the way you drive your car, you know, just setting up for a long run that usually happens at Atlanta. So a very fun racetrack. There's going to be 3-4 wide racing. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to be aggressive like we talked about. But there's going to be times that we got to be smart and take care of our race car because it's 500 miles, so it's a long one. But definitely a racetrack that we want to grab a win at, and we got the momentum behind us. So we've got to work through our practice plan and get our car tuned in the way we want it, and then we'll work on our strategy once we know what we got.
It's a great stop. NASCAR Cup Series returning once again this Sunday at the Atlanta Motor Speedway with the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500, 2 p.m. Eastern on Fox. He is the driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford Mustang for Team Penske. Joey, I appreciate you. Great interview. Thank you very much. Good luck this weekend.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good one, Jim.
You too. Great talking to you, Joey. Always great doing business with NASCAR. You know why that is? Because, Alvin, as you know, and having your bank, these guys are great guys, and they always show up, do they not?
Good guy, top performer. They know what they're doing.
Respects the fans.
There's no better league to deal with than NASCAR.
Gives back, appreciates the sport, has time for the fans.
And NASCAR has won me over.
I like it. I get it.
They call on time. They do good interviews. They have good attitudes. It's big. It's not going away. Good interview, shows up on time. Every one of those guys is like that. They won me over. I will say for the record once again, I've done a 180.
He's not Tony Stewart. Rusty Wallace is my favorite guest. And if it's not Rusty Wallace, it's Clint Bowyer and his bus driver, Curtis. I did not break the pace car. Carl Edwards, class act, Trevor Bain. The best energy. And I love Jeff Gordon.
I can't pick favorites, but Jimmy Johnson's my favorite.
And Brad Keselowski is right there.
Were you pleased with the burnout after the race?
Oh, man, the burnout's just my thing.
Now that's a burnout.
Yes, it is.
And that's Joey Logano. What a class act. What a class act. When I make that point that they show up on time, not Joey. Joey showed up early. Showed up early, totally engaged, great interview, tremendous conversation. And that one part about he's not Tony Stewart, what that means is Tony Stewart's the only one who's ever said no. And in fact, I'm glad. It kind of makes it better. What if every single athlete in a particular sport said yes? I would not be doing my job. Alvin freaking DeLauro. Getting nice, getting early. Every once in a while, that swag that he displayed as a youngster when he led his high school basketball team to a state championship just shows up in the most unexpected ways. Don't believe me? Go to YouTube. Search Alvin DeLauro State Championship. It'll blow your mind. My thanks to Joey Logano and NASCAR. They are something. That is a fan-friendly league right there. All right, we are coming right back. Phone lines are open. Take advantage of this. Do this. Pick up the phone. Hit me up. It's almost like having your own little talk show. You come on. I get out of the way. You start to rant. You spit out your take. Billions of people hear it. You build your brand. Who knows? Somebody might give you your own show or podcast, but it will never happen if you don't call 1-800-636-8686. Coming up next hour, Belmont head basketball coach Casey Alexander. Conference tournament's underway. The few.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So when you hear Wednesday, what do you think? Hump day? Maybe. When I hear Wednesday, I think ATP, Ask the Pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question. I will answer one of them later on. In the meantime, remember, you can get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Dear Jim, did I hear you say that the NBA is encouraging fans to stay home? Way ahead of you. Signed, James Dolan.
Tell the team!
Anything I should tell the team? You want to not come to any more games?
Why?
Yeah, that's rude.
It's an opinion.
No, it's not an opinion. And you know what? Enjoy watching them on TV.
Do you want to not come to any more games? Yes, I would like to not come to any more games. That'd be awesome. I mean, it's like, is that a threat or a promise? You're telling me I can't come to any more Knick games? Good. Hey, Rome, the only thing better than Tony Stewart not wanting to do your show is Paul Westerberg big-timing you after agreeing to come on. What's more rock and roll than not showing up for an interview? Drez in C-Town, War, pleased to meet me. And that's funny, right? Really quick recap, classic jungle story. Paul Westerberg is the lead man of my favorite band ever, The Replacements. And there's a great, great podcast that we did on that. Did you want to listen to? Bob Mayer has written a book. He produces them and wrote an amazing book about The Replacements. But this guy wrote, what's more rock and roll than not showing up for an interview? The problem with Paul Westerberg was I absolutely love the guy. Love, love, love the guy because he was the ultimate rock and roll guy. He would do things like that. And he'd go rock and roll on somebody's ass, and I think it was great. Until he went rock and roll on my ass. And then I was surprised and didn't think it was great. And then I had to own that. Like, well, what do you expect, man? You love this guy for doing things like that. But it's not okay if he does it to you. He did. It was all right. We came together. We came together ultimately and made it right. No, it's not quite one and the same. You have to understand. NASCAR is an amazing thing because way, way, way back in the day, and we all change and we all evolve. And that's not a matter of me being soft. That's not a matter of me selling out. That's a matter of me having an open mind. There was a time when NASCAR did not interest me at all. And I was the guy who was on record as saying, why would I give a damn about the left turn only circuit? Got a lot of mileage out of that. It was crushing NASCAR. And NASCAR knew it and NASCAR heard it. And instead of pushing back and saying, screw you, NASCAR said, hey, listen, smart guy, maybe you come to one of our events. Maybe you talk to one of our drivers. Maybe instead of talking all that crap, you give it a shot. And me being a guy who has an open mind, I said, all right, fair enough, fair enough. And I did. And the damnedest thing, I like what I saw. I like what I heard. We started to interview the athletes. That's why I play that disclaimer at the end of every NASCAR interview. I started to say things like that, like, well, damn, that guy was pretty good. That guy was pretty accessible. That guy was pretty interesting. That guy was fan-friendly. That guy showed up on time. And over time, we developed this interest and a relationship with NASCAR. And my point is, I've interviewed every single driver on circuit that I've asked for. Except for Smoke. Because Smoke is Smoke. Smoke is Smoke. And Smoke knew that I had not said very nice things about him. He's like, screw that. And which I respect. He's Smoke. And like I've always said, if everybody wants to do my show, I'm not doing my job. And then there are guys that I've had big issues with that we've turned around. There are guys that have had issues with me that came on and we fixed. And there are guys who had issues with me that will never get fixed. And then there's the aforementioned Paul Westerberg. We had a little beef. Actually, we didn't have beef. He didn't have beef with me. I had a beef with him because he stiffed the program after I promoted it for 3 days in a row. But then, as I mentioned, you can't carry these grudges forever, and guys make things right. Westerberg came on the show, and it was awesome.
I am a knucklehead. I mean, I'm able to be responsible when I have to when it comes to my son. But other than that, I make stupid mistakes every day. Yesterday at the soccer game, I yelled at the coach and told them to shut up and go to hell. And I was then asked to, like, go move farther away from the field. Can take the garage singer out of the garage, but whatever.
Paul, that was great. I really had been looking forward to that, and I really enjoyed that. I'm glad you made time. Really good to have you on the show.
Thanks very much, Jim. I appreciate it.
My man. That was 2004. So we made it right. It's my guy right there, Paul Westerberg. Greatest rock and roll frontman ever. Greatest lyricist ever. My favorite band ever. You see, some of these things are made right. Dear Jim, for as long as I've been listening to the show, you have been telling us to check out Alvin's high school basketball championships on YouTube. So, with no one in the office because of some virus, I have extra time to finally look into the videos. Dude is breaking ankles and chopping chumps up. I didn't believe it until I saw it with my own two eyes. When is Alvin coming out with his own sneaker line? Can you see everyone at the local run wearing the Doloro 3s? Jake in New York City, right?
Yes, dude, yes, yes.
The thing is, Alvin worked here like 7 years before I even knew that he played high school basketball, much less had that game, had that pedigree, had that resume. The kid is extremely humble. You can't get him to talk about it, but Jake, I feel you. I appreciate that. Thanks. It's an amazing thing to see. All right, now this email goes back to yesterday. I mentioned that the What's My Beef segment is a can't miss. It always works. It always works. It works so well that sometimes it even jumps the day. Mike in Clearwater called the program during the segment, and I said, Mike, what is your beef? This happened yesterday on the program.
What's up, Jim? I got a beef with people that have service dogs with no apparent ailment whatsoever. They trot their little flea-ridden dog into the restaurant, to the supermarket. They're totally fine. They can see fine. They can hear fine. They're walking fine. What do they need to bring that dog into the restaurant for? You know, they've got that stupid little vest, and they don't want you to look at it or touch it. Don't touch my service dog. It's a service dog. Don't approach my dog. Come on, get yourself together and leave your stupid mangy mutt at home. I'm out.
So to hear Mike lay it out, so what you're saying, Mike, is these people are faking illnesses. They're feigning illnesses. And why would they do that? Just so they can bring their dog to a restaurant? Would you really go to all that trouble just to be able to bring your dog to a restaurant? That's his take. This guy writes, hey, Jim, that dumbass who beefed about people with service dogs with no apparent injuries obviously do not take into account the numerous military vets, law enforcement, and first responders who need those dogs to help them deal with their PTSD. What a stupid-ass beef that moron came up with. Signed, Mike in Tampa. War Jungle Carmel.
Jungle Carmel.
Charlie in Lawrence, Kansas.
Hey, Jim, this is Charlie Weiss in Lawrence, Kansas. I was trying to get some of that Jungle Carmel you got. I'll take 2 buckets of it for lunch. Hey, Jim, I went to Jack in the Box this morning for breakfast. I went to the drive-thru and I said, I'll take it. We're drinking cake batter and maple syrup out of a glass. Rock me, I'm out.
I got to ask Alvin, when did that happen?
You don't like that cop.
I don't like that cop.
It's such a weird thing about phone calls. Like, for years, I thought that was, like, the stupidest thing. And then I hear that this morning, and I'm like, you know, that's actually maybe the funniest thing. 2013. But back to Mike in Tampa, he makes a very good point. Just because you can't see the ailment does not mean there is not an ailment. He says, hey, idiot, the service dogs are there oftentimes for people dealing with PTSD. You can't see it. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So no, they're not there with their stupid little flea-ridden dog just so they can have that dog at the restaurant. They're there because the dog is a service dog. The beef segment. Jumping the day. Then there's Adam Hawk. Adam Hawk was getting a lot of run this week. He's starting to bounce back a little bit. Now on Wednesday, he mentioned to me that after running the LA Marathon day two, it's always worse on the second day. So now on the third day, he's starting to bounce back a little bit. He's getting a lot of run. Not everybody appreciates Hawk, though. Let me read you a long-form email. And I'm not turning this show into that. All these things. I want to talk about Tom Brady. And I want to talk March Madness, and we'll get to that for sure. This is an old-school, long-form email. Hi, Jim. As a multi-Ironman finisher, I'm always interested in others' endurance events. You know, the whole bonding over the pain and struggle thing. So after I missed yesterday's show, I looked up Adam's LA Marathon time. And holy bleep, he's 32. No way. How about some sunscreen when you play 18, bud? Or some collagen in your protein smoothie? I mean, I know TV adds 10 pounds, but not 15 years. But I digress. So congrats on breaking 5. And most likely, breaking a bone in your foot. I've seen it way too often. A, quote, fat and slow runner pushes too hard. Bam! Stress fracture. Once the soreness calms down later this week, Adam will start complaining about his foot. I'm guessing you'll hear a good week of complaining about his poor little piggies and how he's such a warrior. Until his wife makes him see a doctor. Luckily, stress fractures aren't the worst if you follow the doctor's orders. Hey, Adam, are you listening? This guy goes on, pretty much, wear a walking boot, stay off it, but look who we're talking about. So I say after 3 days of being annoyed by that walking in a boot and 3 days of being annoyed by his one-leg pirate jokes, he'll stop wearing it and he'll go play 18. And this is where it becomes fun for Adam and the worst for the rest of us. A month more of bitching about his foot. His doctor will tell him he now needs surgery. Just think about how insufferable he'll become then. You think he's lazy now. Hey, Jim, can you walk in here and grab these papers? Yeah, I know you're on the air, but I broke my foot in the marathon. We get it, Hawk. It was 3 months ago. No one cares anymore. The XR4TI is so screwed. In all of this, the flight deck is the true winner, tattoo or not. He only has to put up with Hawk and the bitching and the moaning once a week. War being informed that 7-Eleven has Coronas on sale, 2 dozen for $20. Donald in Sherman Oaks. Now we know. That's a different spin, Adam. It's got to be eye-opening, right? That's got to be eye-opening to you. You know that. Like, what if you have a stress fracture? And don't act like, yeah, well, Goggins had stress fractures, and he ran like 500 miles on them. Yeah, he's Goggins. You're Hawk. This guy's like, wait a minute, Hawk's 32? How about mixing in some collagen into your protein smoothie? It's a tough gig, man. That cat's aged 15 years in the 2 years plus he's been here. Second hour's coming up. Don't go anywhere.